Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat. Thanks for joining us for part two of how to become a whiskey expert. I cringe at the top lists or the cheesy titles. So this is a bit of a running joke with this. I don't think it takes much to become a whiskey expert. You just have to be passionate about it. And once you learn, as you saw from last week's episode with Barry in part one, once you learn how to taste things, you realize what you're looking at. Once you realize what you're looking at and it makes sense, then you know what to do. It's very simple. There's no need for this hoity-toity, you know, over-the-top snobbery. So Barry, these intros, last week's intro and this week's intro, were filmed back-to-back, so I have no idea how the first episode went. So I am excited to see today's episodes back-to-back how Barry's palate is developing and if we're actually going to make any progress or if this is a complete waste of everybody's time. So let's just get straight to it. We'll pay the bills real quick and then we'll jump right into this week's episode with Barry Laminack. As always, guys, if you're familiar with the concept of terroir and wine, you'll appreciate Mark Rainier's Waterford Single Malt Irish Whiskey. Mark is combining his Scotch whiskey and fine wine talents to produce an authentic series of Irish single malt whiskeys based on traditional wine industry principles. The idea of terroir. Where is your grains that you cook with? Where do they come from? What elevation? What time of year? When were they harvested? What farm did they come from? What was the predominant soil, construct, composite? What's the word I'm looking for? The basic breakdown of what minerals in which locate, like for instance, Texas has a lot of red clay, right? So what is the soil made up of? The idea of terroir has been around a long time. It's hotly debated, but I feel like I've even argued with it on the show. And I feel like two in particular spirits have proven my feelings about it wrong. The first one was Sotol or Mezcal. You've seen agave and Sotol produced from the same location, the same equipment by the same mezcalero. But the only difference is where the agave came from. It's hard to argue against it there. And then, of course, what Waterford has done is literally single farm, single origin, single seed. I mean, where the grains come from, and what you're seeing is an actual difference. It's pretty amazing. So we'll jump right into it. Go to glassrev.com/Waterford. I know you can find Waterford at Total Wine. I know you can find it almost nationwide. But, of course, go to glassrev.com/Waterford. And, yeah, let's jump right into it for part two with Barry Laminack. Cheers. Barry, welcome back to the show. Looking good, bud.
Thank you, buddy.
Happy to be here.
Good wardrobe change.
Quick wardrobe change. No. We believe it or not, we just are now wearing each other's underwear.
Yes.
Last week we put a lot of bizarre extremes thrown at you.
Yes.
We threw some anise or some absinthe at you. We threw some peated whiskey, some mezcal, some sherry, all of the extreme flavor profiles of very specific spirits. Now we're going to get into some not so loud. If those were volume buttons, those were all at 11.
Okay.
We're going to throw some fives at you.
Oh, this is going to be more of a challenge.
It's going to be a bit more of a challenge to dig through what you're tasting and find an identifying note that you can remember.
Okay.
So, but we'll get there. Let's start with Waterford. So, Waterford Irish Whiskey. I said this, I think, in either this week's intro or last week's intro, that for many years, there's two specific whiskey categories that have been extremely boring and archaic, and that is Canadian whiskey and Irish whiskey. It's not that they're bad, but they're one note, and they've been the same for years. Almost everything they've produced has been meant to be mixed with other things, or shot, or any number of things, right?
Just explain my Crown and Coke.
Yeah. Right? Or you remember Seagram's VSO and VO, whatever the case might be. So Waterford has helped change that. One, nothing they produce is 80 proof. Everything they produce is 100 proof. And this is a single farm, single origin.
Now, what's the significance of that?
So going back to boring categories, Ireland, a lot of their whiskey is just cut down to 80 proof. Added water. Same thing with Canada. It's the minimum required ABV to be called whiskey.
Okay.
And so they are basically in the drug world, because you grew up in them streets.
They're just cutting their product.
They're cutting their product. Okay. And it's more profitable. They make more money on it.
I thought it had something to do with maybe the mixture stuff, like you said, being blended with a Diet Coke or...
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're drinking for a purpose, drinking with a purpose just to get drunk, then 80 proof whiskey blended with whatever you want. The old school Jack Daniels is not the greatest liquid in the world.
Yeah.
Current Jack Daniels, the single barrel proof, they're all 90 proof or cask strength. So their full bodied, uncut products are gorgeous, truly gotcha. Stunningly beautiful products. Then you have an audience that just wants to get fucked up. So it's a difference. Yeah. So Waterford, their Irish single malt whiskey, this guy has done something truly unique. He is buying grain one farm at a time, right? So there's an argument about terroir and spirits where, oh, you can literally, the way the earth is, the composite of the dirt here is going to be, there's more iron in this soil. There may be more sulfur in this soil over here. So the stuff that grows out of the ground over here may taste different because there's more sulfur versus what grows out of the ground here may taste different because there's more iron. Terroir is the argument of where things grow. So Waterford does this thing where they buy grains from single farms. Like, I'm buying all of the grain for this, what's in this bottle, from one particular farm. We're going to distill it, give it to at 100 proof, and it'll taste different than all of the grain that's purchased at the next farm. They're proving the existence of terroir. So it's really, really fascinating. So here's the thing. It's not super...
There goes your phone.
That was my phone. Hold on. It's not like absinthe. It's not like... peated whiskey. It's going to be a bit more subtle, not as brash and in your face, and it's going to take you to do some digging to really pull out some notes. However, I do get a specific note from this, and what I tell people, sorry, silence. I know radio silence is never a good thing.
Yeah. It definitely burns when you smell it. That is for sure.
Yeah.
And not all of them have done that over the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is.
So that the nose could be more alcohol forward, sure. So to me...
No notes on the scent.
It's a little harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to me, a lot of these carry a yeasty biscuit quality, like a dinner roll baking. Not the act of eating the dinner roll, but maybe... before it's not quite fully cooked, it's got kind of a yeasty bread. Like, I used to work at Subway, and we would pull these frozen turds out of a bag and put them in the slot where the bread goes, and just throw them in the oven. And while they were cooking, that smell,
yeah,
is what I get in the glass. There's this, but it's more subtle. It's, you kind of have to dig for it.
So this is where last week we had the more in your face, like you said. This is where when you and I drink whiskeys of different types, this is generally what happens. There's the burn.
Mm-hmm.
There's a distinctness to the fact that it's whiskey.
But that's it.
But that's it.
You get any honey? I get honey. It's harder. It is harder. And it may be not something that you're quite used to yet. Totally fine. When we get to bourbon and when we get to this rumble and when we get to this rye and this cognac, I think it'll be a little bit more easier. But I knew the Waterford was probably going to be the hardest because it's a more robust Irish whiskey.
Yeah, I really.
But you don't get honey. I get honey.
I don't.
That's okay.
I really don't get anything.
To you, it just tastes like whiskey.
Yeah, it's just the.
Shoot it.
Shut up.
I dare you.
That's shooting it.
I tell you what. I tell you what. You throw out a medical acronym, and if I get it right, you have to shoot it. I'll give you a hint. GERD.
The problem is I didn't know GERD was an acronym.
Bro, I remember I said it and you go, no, that's not it. It's the name of the juice.
You nailed it. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't
really. No, it's okay.
But I will keep trying.
All right, let's go classic bourbon. Okay, classic bourbon. Prideful Goat. This is batch 3. There's also a specific note on this that a lot of people get that should be pretty clear if I can not spoil it. 115 proof. There's this amazing video on YouTube. These two guys look like they're probably 25, 26. They're from Pasadena. And they did a review of our goat and they put it up on YouTube. I fucking cried laughing for 20 minutes.
Why?
Because it's the it's an honest attempt at a review, but it's like
not even close.
How do I say this without sounding like a total dick? I'm not
Please
trying
to sound like a dick.
I'm not That's trying to sound like for. I'm not trying to sound like a dick.
Right. One star commenter from last week. But if that is your real name.
No, it got posted in HBS, and they responded.
They were members of HBS?
They're members in the group, and they laughed, and they were all good sports about it. But they were like, hey, man, I get a lot of cherry, bro. Like, and it was just like the funniest, high-end.
But they were
who they funny. Are. That's just who they
okay.
are.
Okay, I like it.
You get a lot that. Of cherry, bro. You feel me? And I'm like, this is the greatest review I've ever watched in my entire life. It's like a $125 bottle, and these guys are like just – it's the most surreal just guys
yeah.
trying to approach
trying
it
to
seriously.
They were trying to be like
– They were trying to be serious.
Snooty.
Yeah, they were –
See,
he was like, you feel me, bro? You know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, dude, I know exactly what you mean. This is the greatest video I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I saved it. I shared it to all my friends. Like, this is the greatest review we've ever gotten. I wish people could just look it up. It's on YouTube. It got a lot of views in a very short amount of time because we immediately started blasting it out.
Really?
I was like, this is the greatest review anyone's ever left me on one of our products. Thank you so much.
I'm gonna start doing my own reviews.
Dude, I think you should do reviews of my shit.
I am.
You know?
Like, and I'm just going to have random things from my notes. This is sweeter.
Oh, yeah. Bourbon?
Mm-hmm.
What did I say earlier? It was a classic note for bourbon.
Brown sugar.
Brown sugar.
Yeah, it's definitely sweeter.
All right, so this is a little harder. Because there's two notes that I get that really stand out. But if you're not used to identifying them, it could be a bit... hard to see. And if Todd's watching this at home, shout out to Todd. Have you met Todd?
Yeah, when I worked the
social. Yeah. So this, people get a lot of, and it's kind of what everyone says, a lot of cherry. But I also get a lot of oak. So it's like almost like a cherry oak battle of the sexes. Just like, I get a lot of that medicinal cherry cough syrup. But also, Jesus Christ, it's so good. 15-year-old.
It's very good.
15-year-old prideful goat bourbon. But it's a lot more richer, a lot sweeter. This is a bit more mild, the Waterford. This is a bit more in your face. But it's pretty basic. Bourbon's very one note.
Is it?
It's, generally speaking, bourbon is like You're a very narrow one. Category. Super sweet brown water.
Is it? Is there? So when you're trying to find the note, is it? an immediate thing that you're looking for, or is it
not always
letting it sit? Like, I'm like, the, you know, I'm doing what you taught me originally, which was put it in the front of your mouth, let it get numb a little bit. Does that affect the notes that you get when if
I mean, all of it is sensory, right? So the longer it's in your mouth, sometimes in the finish, you'll finally identify it because it stands out more after you exhale. You know, you'll swallow, and that first breath after you swallow, you'll still taste, like you'll finally identify what you're looking for. It's hard. It can be hard. Yeah. But you do taste the difference between Waterford and this, right? Like you.
Absolutely. There's a
clear as day difference. Yes. See yes. That there's, you know, Irish single malt whiskey made with barley versus corn and wheat and rye. And there's no wheat in this. I apologize. I know people know that. So, what are your let's put some things on wax so we can hold you to it. What are your plans for next year?
Oh. So I got to tell you, I took this week off to plan, prepare for 2022.
Okay. I saw your post on Facebook.
About?
Said, don't surround yourself with people that support you. Surround yourself with people who won't let you fail.
Yes. Yes. That was, it dawned on me as I was, that's not a quote that I got from anybody. I just made that up.
Sure.
From trademark. Experience, yep. Huh?
Trademark. No.
Trademark, yeah. Yeah. If you put it on a shirt, I'm suing. No, like, and you know why? And this is going to sound corny, like I'm kissing the host's ass here.
Uh-oh.
But because of
that conversation like we had in the parking lot?
Yes. And with Jen, who has been...
Amazing.
Amazing
Jen's
for me.
Incredible.
Jen just one day was like, hey, you're super busy with your show and your business, and I want to help you. And didn't ask for money. She's just... helping me and whatever I need, like the streamathon doesn't happen without Jen. So I realized that it's not, I mean, I have a lot of support and I love, and I'm thankful for it. But what I realize is there's a certain subset of people that are going to be in your life that it's not about their support. It's about them not letting you quit. Like I didn't want to do the streamathon. I didn't think we could do, and you and Jen and folks like that are the ones that were like,
oh, and I
wouldn't let it fail. It wouldn't let me fail. And I think that's a huge difference for creators and artists and musicians and anybody that's out there, whether you're just trying to start a business, be an entrepreneur, or, you know, it's there will always be people that support you. But if you surround yourself, that inner circle, that small group of people with people that won't let you fail when you want to quit, that's huge.
Yeah, there's an old saying that you're the sum of the five people you hang out with most.
Mm.
And I am currently trying to get my daughters to understand this because yep. They're getting to a point where they're going to be in the real world and I want them to be successful on their own without a spouse.
Mm-hmm. Hugely important.
So that they're not dependent on that person.
Hugely important.
But this idea of like, there are people I grew up with who have done nothing with their life. And I still look back on them and I love them. And I would like to go have a beer with them every now and again. But I there's too much going on in my life and everything I'm trying to accomplish that they can't be my best friend all the time. And it sounds shitty, but if you really think about it, you are the sum of the five people you hang out with most. You should surround yourself with people who are going to elevate you. And it sounds cheesy, but that's exactly right. Like what Jen has done, what you talk about doing, we talked about, I'm going to say it, a nonprofit. You should start a nonprofit. And the streamathon went great. And I even told you in the parking lot, I didn't quite understand what the streamathon was until it was like a week out. I think you invited me on or something. It was pretty close to it happening that
I'm not a great marketer. If I was, my show would be way more popular than it is.
But there are at least 10 bottles I think I could give you between now and then.
It's crazy.
That and Jen, did she watch you when you're on the show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She pushed you for 10,000 this year.
Yes.
Look at the nervousness in your face right
Please
now.
Please don't say this out loud.
She's gonna
say it. I texted her. I was like, you know, after we had our conversation in the parking lot, I was like, yeah, Chris said, you know, Jen's gonna make you go
20.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be 20 next year. No. 15, and not only is it not only 50. Does it need to be. Here's the thing, my wife and I, and you and I think we also talked about this. My wife and I, every year, we don't have New Year's resolutions. We have goals for the year.
I do. I believe in goal setting.
I'm working on a master's degree in psychology because I like this. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. It's an online university, but I'd like to.
It's a college made up of mostly the community.
Yeah. I'd like to open a clinic. I think it'd be cool to talk to people, you know, whatever's going on. Secretly, what I'd like to do is open up a marriage counseling clinic so that I could side with the men and officially tell them that women are overreacting, but we'll see how it goes. But I think Jen should push you to 20.
That is so great, dude.
I think it should be under. So
you got to close with that.
Your goal.
You got to close with that bit.
What? That's so funny. That's such a great. I think your goals for 2022. I know that an album is on there.
Yes.
A nonprofit.
That's the thing is, I have so many different avenues that I'm in. Right, with the show, with Barry on deck, with stand up, with you know the nonprofit potential. Yeah. So yeah.
I think you need to start the nonprofit. Next year should be under your nonprofit, and it should be $20,000. And I, Jen, the moment that you start talking to him about dates, I'm looking up at the me. I don't know why I look at me rookie, like that's Jen.
Rookie mistake.
This the Jen.
How long did I have to coach you when you would start doing the show? I'd be like, you got to look at the camera, bud. You're looking at your screen.
Jack has stopped telling me because it goes in one ear out the other. Jack's like he's gonna make that sucking sound no matter what.
You got to look at the camera.
Yeah. The moment you have a date and y'all guys are talking about it, reach out to me. I am going to put together a list. I'm going to try to get 5 to 10 bottles of things that should garner, help you hit that $20,000 goal. But I will commit to you that I will pull that off if you commit to me that you do everything possible to look into opening the nonprofit and what it takes. If we hit some roadblock that we can't surpass, fine. But you've at least looked into it. You have to keep going.
So I have looked into it.
Okay.
What the reason we didn't do it last year was because I really needed to focus on. So Barry on Deck, when it started, was gangbusters, right? And then slowly people started going back to work. And so because I stream in the middle of the day and the show's in the middle of the day, the numbers started to fluctuate and dip. And I thought, you know, we had already discussed a nonprofit and we started to figure out what we wanted to do about mid-2021. And I told you the story. It was basically because I had bought a PS5, replaced my PS4, ended up donating the PS4 to a shelter for domestic and sexual violence victims where the kids are. And I put out a call, hey, just send me some video games, and got video games and systems and TVs. And just the response was so ridiculous that I thought, light bulb moment, this could be a thing. And we could do this all over the state. We could do this all over the country.
Sure.
So we started looking into it, and I talked to a lawyer, and I think I said some things that he disagreed with politically, and he bailed on me. By the way, shout out to you for being a loser. Probably the same guy that left the one-star comment on this show, you moron. Anyways, so we got as far as
we could.
We just didn't have time, and I had to stabilize the show. So we are further along than I think.
You're a year out.
Yeah. Okay.
So you need to do
Sorry
it.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good. You need to do it. I will work on getting, we even actually stumbled across the perfect name for it too in the parking lot.
What was that? I think I wrote it down.
You had told me that you bought you were going to donate a PlayStation to these needy kids.
Yes.
And it would be great to start a nonprofit to help these little kids. These kids who have been abandoned, basically. And you threw out, you were just saying something, and I didn't hear the first part of it, but the second part of the sentence was under the radar. And I said, oh, well, that's a great name. And you go, oh, that is a great name. Like, we should name the nonprofit Under the Radar. And it helps kids who have been, you know, in homes, who need help, who have been forgotten,
yes,
who their outlook does not look great. Under the Radar is a great name. Like, it all comes together, man.
Yeah, I like it. We had a name, and I forget what it was, but I when you said that, it made a lot of sense. I really liked it.
You got it.
Names are
Names are important.
Names are important, but names can be changed. Like Jen and I, we had brainstormed a bunch, but that one sounds really good.
I mean, I don't care what you name it. I just want to help you achieve it. I think if in 2022, if you start a legitimate nonprofit and raised $20,000 your first year for a nonprofit,
it's pretty
bro, good. That's a freaking badge of honor.
Yeah.
That sounds way cooler than a master's degree from an online university.
No, it doesn't. What made you want to get into that, by the way?
So I always told myself, always, like from the very beginning of my relationship with my wife, that if I ever had the money, I would get like, I'm so fascinated with like 10 different things that I would get degrees in all those things. I'd be an expert in all those things.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And like even earlier this year, like a month ago, we're drunk and we're watching a show or something. And I was like, you know what? I want to be a skydiving expert. So I booked my first skydiving.
Have you really?
Yeah. And it was nothing. It was super easy. Yeah. Like I was like, oh, this could be a thing. And it sounds cool and it's interesting. And, you know, I want to be a whiskey expert or I'm going to go to the Quartermaster Sommeliers and work on getting my sommelier certificate for wine. I just want to learn. And I like collecting little badges of honor. Because, you know, job-wise, things are going good. So if I'm achieving all these other things and this current thing doesn't work out, I've got, like, other things I can fall back on.
How do you have time, though? I know how busy you are.
I don't. So a lot of it gets done at the same time.
It's like, I don't. We're not doing it. These are just wants.
Like, we're in the middle of relaunching a brand at Gulf Coast, the Giant 100. So Gulf Coast, when they first started, they had an 80-proof Giant. It's called Giant Bourbon. Mm-hmm. And then a 91 proof, and they're not good. So I came in, and they directly copied the Jack Daniels bottle, like the square bottle, you know?
Yeah.
So I came in, and I was like, no, we're changing the bottle. We're releasing it at 100 proof. We're no longer doing the 89. So we're in the middle of launching all these things right now. And when I've got, like, a weekend off or a Sunday or a Saturday, the weekends are all the schoolwork. And the family stuff, like you find a way to make it work. It's like that movie Unbreakable when Bruce Willis kept adding more and more weight. You just slowly but surely get to a point where you have no room for anything else.
Yeah.
But those things are productive. You're moving forward. You raised $14,000 in a couple hours. And it reignited this passion for a nonprofit and a goal for next year. Like, use that momentum to go forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm rambling a bit and it sounds like I'm a bit preachy, but I, Barry, I think you're one of the most incredible people I've had the honor of becoming friends with the last couple of years. And, I like what you do, and Jin's devoutness to you is insane.
It is.
If I had a Jin, do you realize how much more I could do?
Oh my God. You have no idea. Yeah. You gotta get you a Jin. But that's what led to the quote, right? Like, Jen won't let me fail. And that's why I think it's super important, man. That could be a spouse. That could be a best friend. That could be any of that, man. But you got to have people in your corner, because doing what we do, whether it's, you know, because I'm a lot like you. I'll take on 100 different things. I want to learn a lot of things. I want to do a lot of things. I mean, so I'll have so many irons in the fire, you know, and it can be exhausting. And that's what I was going to tell you. This week, I'm supposed to be planning. I have literally done nothing because the burnout was so significant.
You needed a break.
I just don't want to do any planning right now. I'm like, man, I'll just plan next week while I'm working. Right? So, but, you know, it's the people that you surround yourself with that really prop you up when you need it the most, man. And you have been there for me in that regard. Jen has been there for me in that regard. And that was such a great lesson for me to learn.
I mean, there are days that I need off.
Yeah.
But I can work from my phone or my laptop. By off, I mean I need to stay home. I need to be in bed. Yeah. I need to go to bed early. But I'm not actually off. I mean, the emails never stop. The social media thing never stops. So,
God, if you could get rid of social media, would you? If you could still market, if you could still grow a business, if that wasn't the way, because right now that's the way.
It's the way.
And I'm just like, this morning I was on Facebook just doom scrolling again. I'm like, what am I doing?
I'm wasting
so much time just looking, arguing with one-star commenters. And it's just, you know, I've got to get more disciplined in 2022 by using it as a marketing tool for all of my different projects and businesses, but not using it as a person and an individual. It's just,
I'll tell you what, exhausting. I think is different from our experience. Anyone in my timeline that's, you know, I grew up very conservative, so there's a lot of those people who have a lot to say about the current environment politically on mm-hmm. both sides. The liquor industry is largely left. My childhood's largely right. Just snooze them, unfollow them. The vast majority of my time online is spent in things I'm interested in, the bourbon groups. Mm. So they're people that drink as much as me. They like the same things as me. There's inside jokes. There's a community there that is, it might be benign. Like there may not be any substance to it at times.
But that's okay.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'd much rather see pictures of bottles of whiskey that no one can find versus someone arguing about masks or Hillary Clinton for the past Pizzagate. Like I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
And it does become soul sucking. Twitter is the fucking worst. And I've tried to give Twitter my attention. It sucks. Twitter's the worst.
That's where I have my biggest following, so that's where my biggest marketing opportunities are. And as a comic, you know, you think of a joke. It's so easy just to tweet it.
A tweet's better
and
for
see
a joke.
Yeah, I'm not putting it on Facebook. Because the problem is, and this is okay, I'm about to rant for a second.
Do it.
The problem is, as a stand-up comic, when you are just throwing a joke out that popped in your head. The other day, I had a stupid little joke where I was like, I wrote a joke about following through, but... And that was the whole joke, right? And just dot, dot, dot. And it's just stupid little things that you think of as a comic. They're not always going to be
little throwaways.
But you'll post them just to post them and see, get people's reactions and... It's almost like if you're following a comic and they're posting, it's literally everything they're thinking, right? So you're getting to see almost the creative process of joke writing because they put all the stuff out there and then they'll weed through what's good and bad and what'll work and not. Inevitably, though, when you post a joke, people feel like they need to fix the joke.
Sure.
They need to add their punchline or, oh, didn't you mean this? No, I didn't mean that. You... Asshole, I wrote it like I wrote it. Like, go write your joke on your stream or your Twitch or whatever tweet. Oh, it's maddening as a comic when you try to just post some, you know, jokes or materials. It would be like when, I guess, if someone gives their review of a bourbon and gives their notes, you'd be like, didn't you mean oak? Like,
okay.
No, I tasted cherry. Sure. You meant, oh, no, I didn't, asshole. I meant what I said. Like, why are you correcting? Oh, it's maddening.
I mean, I get it. I mean, yeah. I remember at the the comedy showcase, I had like a tagline or something for you, and you're like, you're not going to do this, are you? I was like, I mean, I'm going to, but.
You're like, I know I'm violating it. But it's also different when a friend does it. You know what I mean? It as opposed to just online random people that are like, oh, I'm going to be funnier than the comedian. No, because then you would be a comedian.
I'm trying to compare your example to what
I... sounds so pompous and arrogant.
No.
Don't tell me what's funny. No, it's not that. Like, you can say, I don't like this joke. Oh, cool. But audiences tell me that all the time when they don't laugh at the shit I'm doing at open mic. Sorry, I'm cursing a lot. My bad, Jack.
No,
stop.
Jack's got it.
But there's a difference between that and thinking you're fixing the joke or I'm going to one-up the comedian. Like, just stop. Stop.
It reminds me of it's not the same example, but like somebody posted in the group the other day and they used the word irregardless. And he did it as bait.
He did it as bait. Smart man.
Yeah, and some of the most smartest people I know were like, that's not a word. And I got so angry. I just felt this hate inside me. And I just said, irregardless is a word, and I hate it when super smart people act snobby and take super hard stances that don't need to be there. Mm-hmm. And for that, like, irregardless is a word. It's in the dictionary. It's been in use for over 200 years. It's been in the dictionary for 87 years. Like, it's there. It's a fucking word. It's non-standard.
Yeah.
Meaning, it's if you're writing a paper or you're giving a speech, you shouldn't use it. It's the emphatic use of the word regardless. It's a, it seems a bit redundant. It pisses people off. But there are other words that people use that are non-standard, but no one will ever lose their mind over. Because they people love to freak out about the word ain't and the mm-hmm. word irregardless.
Mm-hmm.
Humongous, gargantuan, impactful. Those are all non-standard words in the same vein as we conversated. That's not really a it's not a word in the traditional sense, but it become that's how our words develop. Is we use when it becomes so prolific.
Fantastical is a word.
Yeah,
like. That's a great
when the community as a whole uses a word. And accepts it and uses it so frequently that it becomes a part of the... Well, that's where a tweet came from. A tweet was created because of Twitter.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. So that's how some words are made, is they get created out of nowhere. They get used so or incorrectly that it becomes... literally. Literally used to mean literally. But now there's a second definition that just means a dramatic figurative... Like, she literally is the worst person I've ever met.
Literally can't even.
Yeah. So now there's a separate meaning that isn't actual by literal.
The way, she's the worst white girl. It's just white girls making
she's
up words.
Literally,
literally
a total bitch.
She can't even.
She can't even taste a cherry.
I'm like, get litty, girl.
Yes, litty. Like, let's get lit. Like, those we use non-standard words all the time and no one gives a shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, gonna. I'm gonna do this. Gonna's not a word. Gonna is non-standard. It's not, it's going to. Oh, yeah, but gonna, if you type it out, gonna. No one's gonna jump down your throat.
No one's going to.
You're good at jokes.
Yeah, I had somebody correct me on that too, because I tweeted out something. I just put, I'm gonna da da da. They were like, gonna. I was like, okay, you know what?
Yeah, you know my rule. Barry's got a
you
rule.
Know what? I do.
It's one cardinal rule.
I
what is it?
One online rule.
What is it?
And this is like, you can fix my jokes all you want, but, and I won't block you. I'll mute some folks, like you said, but don't correct my spelling. I'm a terrible speller. I own it. Homophones are my weakness.
What'd you call me?
Do you know what a homophone is?
Yeah, words that sound like they're...
They sound the same, but they're spelled different. There, there, and there.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I read and read, right? Like,
yeah,
I'll because I type like 70 words a minute. I think about 3,000 words a minute.
Sure.
Just because, but I'm like, yeah, I'll just, whatever spelling happens to come out of the fingers is, you know what I meant, right?
Sure,
like,
sure.
That's my point. Somebody be like, oh, you spelled this word wrong. I'm like, but you know what I meant. I'm 47 years old. I own the fact that I can't spell. Why are you correcting me? You're not my high school teacher. You're not my junior high teacher. Don't correct me. I'm good.
Get a different class.
Oh, I'm like, yeah, don't correct me. I have a mom. I don't need another online mom. And yeah, I block people that correct my spelling. And I said I would block my mom if she corrected my spelling. And people don't believe me. And
you blocked her?
Let her. No, she hasn't yet because she knows the rule. I will 100%. 100%. HUNNERD. 100% block people. I don't know why either. It's just like one day I was like, that's it. I'm tired of the online spell checkers. I'm sick of it. No more. So that's my rule.
So
I blocked people that I worked with. Like when I was at ESPN, Patrick Creighton, one day he corrected my spelling. I blocked him. And he was mad about it. He was like, well, I can't believe you blocked me. I was like, don't correct my spelling.
Yeah, I got a rule.
Sorry, buddy.
Hey, man, I don't make the rules.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I did.
Wait, don't correct that either.
Yeah.
So this is made from turbinado sugar.
I was going to say, it's very sweet.
Right, Mission Figs and Mission Figs, turbinado sugar, and why am I drawing a blank? Blanky blank. Oh, honey. Wildflower honey. So this is, you should be able to pick out a couple things here to identify. And I know we kind of got off the rails there for a minute, but I mean, I get honey. That's one of the things I get right off
the
bat. Do
you really? It tastes sweet to you?
You don't think this tastes sweet to you?
No.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. This is the one we did.
Okay, now. This so, like, at first it's not. It's the typical burn at first for a novice like myself.
Oh, yeah. 61.3%. 120 proof. Afterwards. This will kill COVID.
Will it?
Yeah. Anything over 120 proof.
Kills COVID.
Start
bathing in it.
Officer, I wasn't drinking.
Yeah, I'm not drunk, sir. I'm
sanitizing.
I'm sanitized. It does taste sweeter afterwards.
Oh, I didn't realize all this stuff was on camera. Man. Yep, so I get the raisins. I get some of that figs. It's almost like if rum...
I've never had a fig.
You know how figs are made? So there's like a dead wasp inside every fig.
Oh, my God.
So from my understanding...
By the way, wasp, one of my phobias.
Really? You have a phobia?
A deep-rooted fear of wasp. Deep-seated, deep-rooted.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe I died from wasp things.
Spiders.
No. Spiders don't bother me. I mean, I'll be like, ugh, but...
I have...
Like a wasp, I'll scream like a bitch and run. Like, you grown man, straight up just take off running.
It didn't bother me.
I don't know if that's what a fig tastes like, but it tastes something like...
Something a bit...
And fruity.
Yeah. It's a homophone. That was stupid. I apologize. A fig, the way that the flower that turns into the fruit has to... It basically, a wasp will... something about the way that it eats it then dies... And the flower envelops it, and then that becomes a fig, a fruit. So inside of every fig is a dead, partially digested or fully digested wasp.
Well, it's a good thing I've never had a fig, though.
You're drinking one now.
That is disgusting.
You're drinking the blood of your enemies right there. So.
But I do say something kind of fruity.
And yep.
Later, not like right away.
It's also got kind of a perfumey floral thing going on. Like it kind of tastes... I mean, to me, this was absolutely one of my favorite things we've ever done. Balcones, and actually, I guess this would be a good time to mention it. So we did a Balcones barrel pick. This is a Rumble pick.
You gave me a bottle of that.
That we did a couple years ago now, 2 years ago. And we have three more coming that we just picked 6 months ago in Waco. Yes. So there's one in a Pinot Noir barrel, one in a Madeira barrel, and then I think a standard offering, Rumble cask. So we have three more of these coming. They're going to be at Total Wines from every Total Wine from
honey.
Dallas to now. You get honey now?
Honey.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I
don't know why.
Keep digging into it.
The smell. Yeah.
It's
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine.
It hit me. Finally got it something.
The best thing you can do, and if Nora starts questioning, why are you drinking every day now? I'm doing research.
I'm trying to become an expert.
I'm becoming an expert. I'm studying. I mean, there is a there's an aspect of this. You got to know the education. You got to know what a bourbon is. You got to know what makes it different than a whiskey and all that stuff. But as far as tasting, there is this there's this guy named Richard Patterson, known as The Notes. He actually wrote a book.
Oh no,
Richard Patterson, The Notes. He's got a big old schnoz. He's a Scotsman. And there's a video of him online where he takes a very expensive bottle of Dalmore. And he pours it into a glass, and it's got a stem just like this, and he goes like this, and then he just slings it. The $10,000 bottle of scotch slings the scotch on the floor because that was just to rinse out the glass. And then he pours more back in.
Oh, God.
Then he pours more back in, and then he... All this business, and you're like, hey, man, I'm drinking out of a solo cup. I'll tell you, it tastes like raisins. It's not that fucking hard. Like, this idea that it's got...
See, that's what I was talking about earlier, though. Like, to a noob like myself, I'm probably drinking this out of just I got a Crown Royal glass that was part of a gift set. For, you know what I mean? Like, 10 years ago, that's probably what I'm drinking out of when I first start.
This glass...
I'm not sophisticated enough to reap the benefits of a Glencairn. I you know,
and
but I'll sling the out of this on the floor. On the right
floor,
now,
yeah,
fancy.
Leave it to Jack to slip on.
I got a big nose, so I can do that.
This glass was designed to funnel the aromatics straight up your nose, just like in beer, those glasses are designed to funnel. But you can achieve, there's several glass shapes.
You can still smell it out of a regular glass.
You can achieve exactly what you need to achieve from it. Mm-hmm. And there's this, oh, I want to get my Cicerone certification too.
What is that?
It's a beer expert.
Oh.
Because I already feel like I know everything about beer. And I want to take it, just be like, oh, yeah, I was right. Yeah.
Nailed it. Yeah. You just like walk in. You walk in and get the syllabus, and then you come back at the end of the semester.
Take a test without studying.
That's you. Oh, so, they're going to hate you.
There's a couple of friends of mine, Ian and Cruz, over at Smoking and Toasting, which is another podcast here in Houston. They're up to like, they've been doing it like 6 years. I mean, the most consistent, every week, Thursday, boom, 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 boom.
Oh, that's cute.
I mean, I know you do it 5 days a week.
Really?
That's not cute. All of us can do 400 episodes in a year.
Oh, they do once a week. How cute.
So these guys, there's a big debate over hard pours. You know when you pour a beer so hard that it foams up and then you have to let the foam settle? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you're going to make it flat. The thing is with beer, and a lot of people don't know this, is that the carbonating of the beer, when brewers carbonate, they tend to over-carbonate the beer because they know that once it get snapped and in transit and storage, it's slowly going to leak carbonation. So they have to overcompensate and they put more carbonation in than they really, really need. But by the time it goes through storage and travel and gets on the shelf and ends up in someone's garage and they finally get around to opening it a couple months later and they let it sit in the glass for a few minutes while they're watching the football game, that it's got to stay somewhat carbonated until it's swallowed. Mm-hmm. So the actual carbonation, if you were to fucking turn it upside down and dump it all into a glass,
wouldn't change.
It is going to release some of that gas, but there's still plenty. You're going to drink it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's already in your glass, so it's going to be over soon. So what we did is we did a blind taste test. These guys who are beer snobs, I would leave the room, hard pour one, carefully, slowly pour it the proper way over here, and they couldn't figure it out.
Ha!
So,
and that's again, I think that's most. I don't mean to, you know, bask in their foolishness.
Oh, I do. I hope they kill themselves. No, I'm just kidding. That's a little extreme. I love those guys. Just kidding.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to get canceled for that one.
But yeah, that's a lot of us. Dude, there's no way you could pour probably 3 to 5 of these that you have in your travel case. I wouldn't know the difference. I'd be like, oh, yeah. At first.
I disagree.
Now the first, last week's episode.
I don't think you will.
Very distinct. But this time around, like the last, so.
If I poured you these two blind, you'd know the difference.
You think so?
So you maybe didn't pick up on certain notes.
Okay.
But if I were to blindfold you right now.
Okay.
And pour you these two, you're going to remember the Irish one versus the bourbon. Probably. Like it's not, maybe you don't have indicators or red flags of things that you think of when you drink them. But I think you could, I bet.
I was just excited I got honey out of the
rumble.
Yeah.
I bet you could identify all three. There's a lot of snobbery in this and a lot of theatrics, but at its core, it's pretty simple. And I think you would tell, in fact, the next time I'm on Barry on Deck.
Yes.
We'll set it up and we'll do it blind.
Okay.
What we'll do is I want you to taste all four things and know what they are, right? You see it, you know what they are, and then pour four blind, mix them up, and then based off your memory from what you know them to be, do it blind and then see like, well, this is probably the Irish or this is probably the bird. Like I bet you can.
Okay.
And it's
I'm glad you have faith in me. I'm pretty stupid. I'm pretty simple. By the way, I just wanted to point this out. You were talking about the carbonation in beer, and this seems super petty. But nothing drives me more crazy about the beer industry than their radio commercials. I know we're on radio. I know we have
beer sponsors.
Yeah. And not the ones that sponsor this fine show.
Sure, sure,
they
sure.
They don't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably do this.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're checking, you're like, wait a minute.
We don't have any beer sponsors.
When I hear a beer commercial and you hear it fizzing, beer doesn't fizz.
You mean like the sound a Coke makes whenever?
Yes. Yes. They'll be like, psh, when they do the pour, look, everybody's going to notice this next time. Listen to a beer commercial on the radio. You hear fizz like it's a soda.
There's no sound that the fizz makes.
Sure, it's just
foam. Drives me insane. It's like, you're what? No.
Also, we were talking about words earlier. I just wanted to point this out. For about, I don't know, 10, 12 years, I would say, oh, that's a mute point.
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny?
That's so stupid.
Bro.
And one day my buddy goes,
what did you say? I was like, it's a mute point. He goes, or it's a moot point. I was like, okay. Yeah. I think you need to calm down.
Moot's not a word, you dumb idiot. That's
what I said. I was like, now you're just making up words for it? He goes, oh, just look it up.
I mean,
and then I did, and I was like, oh boy.
Question is, Chris, what does moot stand for then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got GERD. What is moot?
I don't know. My ocular, I don't know. No, it's the same thing with, it's, you know, people say, oh, they were chomping at the bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the word, it's champing. A horse champs. They don't chomp. They're champing at the bit.
Shut up off screen. Okay, super smart Jack.
I love that you guys have a mic over there because when you and Brandon chime in, it like adds to it.
Well, he's like, I knew that because I always say chomping at the bit.
It's champing at the bit and then also piecemeal. Piecemeal.
Yeah.
It's piecemeal. Meal. Yeah. Not piecemeal.
Oh, I never said that.
Yeah, it's piecemeal. I'll give you another one. My wife. Said
mill, like M-I-L-L.
My wife, and I don't think I've ever, I may have told this on the show once, but my wife ruins catchphrases, like sayings.
Oh, really?
And I remember, I'll never forget. Our daughters still talk about it. Our daughters are probably 15 years old, 14, 15. My wife goes, what are y'all doing? You're supposed to be cleaning your room. Stop pussyfarting around. And my daughters, they're like, Dad, Dad, what is Mom saying?
Mom doesn't understand.
And she's like, I said what I said.
I meant it that way. No, you didn't, yeah, Mom. Like,
honey, it's pussyfooting. It's pussyfooting.
That's hilarious.
Pussyfarting is not a word. What are you doing?
That's not what you're doing.
You can't say
around.
That.
Around. No one goes around pussyfarting.
Dude.
Nobody does what, that.
You know that New Year's Eve tradition where you take a saber and you slice the champagne bottle and it shoots off?
Yes.
We were at a party one time. We were like 20, 22 years old. And I had brought a saber. And I learned this trick. And I was like, we're gonna do this.
It's
a New Year's event. And I go,
announcing Lord Christopher Hart.
Well, she said,
takes his gloves off.
I'm sorry. You don't take your gloves, you leave your gloves on.
Oh, when you're sabering, sabering champagne.
So she goes, wait for me to do it outside. I'm going to go get my phone real quick. And I was too excited that I did it without her. Yeah, yeah.
I get it.
And so
that's why she doesn't orgasm.
I'm sorry. That's such a good callback. Oh, my God.
So I go ahead and do it, and she comes out, and she goes, what am I, chop suey? And I was like, it's chop liver. But I was already in trouble because I did it too soon. Like my wife ruins sayings.
That's outstanding.
And I'm like, oh, you're the best thing I've ever married in my life. Like it's so pussy farting, chop suey. I'm never leaving you because there's gonna be a day where you say something.
My mom had catchphrases that she's a Southern woman, so you know she would always weird. Oh, dead as a doornail. And you'd be like, what are you talking about, right? But she would also, she ran out of ones to use because we'd be like, okay, Mom. So she would just start using commercial catchphrases.
Like what?
Like, I'd be like, Mom, are you
serious? I'm loving it.
Yes. I'd be like, are you serious? I can't leave until I clean my room. She'd be like, you got it, Toyota. I'd be like, what? Why are you doing? She just random catchphrases from commercials or... I was just like, oh my God, Mom, just go back to the old Southern woman stuff.
my grandmother used to say, sit, Ubu, sit.
Good dog.
You know what I'm talking about, right? It was after Full House.
Was it Full House? There was several.
You know what I'm talking
about?
It's a production company.
Yeah.
No? Hey, Google it.
Youngsters don't know that.
And then we got to go. I know we got to go. But it's sit, Ubu, U-B-U. Yeah,
sit, Ubu, sit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good dog.
Good dog. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my grandmother used to say that whenever we wouldn't stop, like we're too jittery.
Uh-huh.
We're like going to church and you're like, you know, sit down. And we would not calm down. And she would say, sit, Ubu, sit. And I always thought about that. So as soon as you said, you got a Toyota, I'm like, oh, yeah, my grandmother.
Sit. Yeah.
Rest in peace.
I'm getting notes of old ladies.
All right, listen, dude, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you. Sorry, dude, camera, what are you talking
camera,
about?
Camera.
Thank you for doing this. This is amazing.
The next time I come on your show.
I'm getting my black belt and whiskey.
the next time I come on your show, I will bet you you'll get 3 out of 4.
Okay.
And you're 2 steps ahead of anyone else becoming an expert. You're there.
I'm loving this.
All right, man. Cheers.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.